for this year. Much needed break for everybody. Our exam next week will be on chapter 13. The lines of honorable men in the house. I will start it tonight, but I will not finish it. I know I won't. But we will make an attempt to do it. Tonight, you will learn the role of a senior pastor, and it's very important. You may not ever become a senior pastor, or you may become a senior pastor. I don't know what calling God may have in your life, but it is important that you understand the role of a senior pastor so that you understand how to function with the office, and if you're called to the office, know how to function in the office, because it's very different than what we've seen today. So we're going to attempt to do that tonight. The author used the as a basis for this chapter, talking about Abraham and the men that were trained in his house. And it is very important that we understand that the training in the house is very important. There's a statement that I'm not going to get to tonight, but you will see it on the test, is that one of the things that made Abraham men different than any of the other men is that they were born and trained in his house. That's important. Listen a minute. That's important. That's very important because they understood Abraham's agenda. They understood Abraham's goals. They understand what he was trying to go for. So understanding that, they were able to use their talents and gifts to enhance that agenda being walked out. Now, you can also have this working in your personal life. Listen, I just was meditating this afternoon, and the Holy Spirit told me that peace begins with me and my surroundings. So I have to eliminate everything and everybody out of my surrounding that affects that. You see that? So I don't come in a covenant with nobody that affects my peace. I am not going to cooperate with anyone that affects my peace, because nothing, essentially, let's face it, people, nothing is worth that much for you to lose your peace over. Nothing. So it was talking about Abraham and these 318 men that he had born and that was trained in his house. He trained them how to fight. He trained them how to battle. He trained them knowing to interpret, knowing how to receive instruction. So he taught us those things. To understand the role of a senior pastor, there are 7 points that you must understand. And I'm going to have to do a lot of reading tonight because I want to make sure you get these 7 points, because the author did an excellent job in pointing out these 7 points. Number one, a senior pastor must be able to have access to God. That's obvious. You don't want a pastor to be leading or shepherding you if they do not have access to God. And believe it or not, there are pastors operating today that do not have access to God. Access to God is more than being born again. Born again only gives you the right to access God. Being born again does not guarantee you access to God. It only guarantees you the right to access God. A senior pastor must have the access and the ability to meet God by commanding a covenant relationship with him, with God. This causes the man to have a divine advantage. The way you command a covenant with God is by having fellowship with God. There are pastors that do not fellowship with God. They only meet God on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night, Wait a minute, your Bible study on Tuesday night. That means they meet on Monday night. Or they only meet God on Saturday nights when it's time for them to perform the Sunday morning. So now you have senior pastors that are leading people in a mock service. It's not the real thing. Lawyers have to go to mock court. They have the judge, they have the jury, they have the defending attorney, have the prosecuting attorney, and they have to actually go through the motions. But the problem is, no matter what verdict is handed down, it's not real, because it's mock court. You wouldn't believe how many people are going to mock church. All the components are there, the ushers, the choir, the musicians, the greeters, the pastor, but they're not getting no verdicts from heaven. They're not getting access to heavens. Why? Because the leader don't know his or her way to the heavens. Hope you listen to that, man, and this is important. You must discern whether or not you're accessing heaven. One of the ways you discern if you're accessing heaven is when God comes to meet you. If God does not come to meet you, you're not accessing heaven. This accessibility to God allows us to meet him at all times and enjoy the freedom of an open relationship leading to divine favor and intimacy. The church becomes stronger because it is led by a leader who knows God. Not acquainted with God, knows God. Now here's some of how this next thing I'm about to read shifts some of the responsibility off of the pastor onto the parishioners. Everyone must know that God is with the pastor and that God's favor and presence is manifested with him or her. So no longer will you, I didn't know the presence of God wasn't with him. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did, Internet. Yeah, you did. But because of position, because of convenience, because of comfortableness, if you allow me to say that, didn't want to make the change necessary changes or make the shift needed to be made to find that leader that has accessibility to God. I hope you're listening to me. Many senior pastors have charisma, personality, style, and an audience. Please do not ever let an audience be a determiner of where you go to church. How many people show up? That doesn't make, look, there were only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were only 8 people that got on the ark. Everybody else was washed away. So how you think about crowds now? So it's not about size. It's not about how many people go. A lot of people went with Jim Jones. So it's not about crowd. It's about being able to recognize that the leader can access God. And watch this. Access God when he or she needs to and wants to. Turn me to Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Moses had this supernatural advantage, and God gave Moses the opportunity to meet him at any time. And God met him face to face. Go to Exodus, the 33rd chapter. I want you to see this. Verse 12, Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up these people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, wait a minute. Now, you understand what Moses is saying. Moses is talking to God, say, God, look, you told me to bring these people, but you ain't told me who's going to go with me. And you told me you knew me by name, and I found favor in your sight. So, God, if that's the case, I don't know about you, but I want somebody leading me that has God's attention like that. Because watch this. Watch this. This is important. This is important now because I want to shift the responsibility. I don't want to shift all the responsibility on the senior pastor, but I want us as parishioners to have responsibility also. I want somebody lead me like that who can access God so they can teach me how to access God like that. Are you seeing this? I want them to be able to teach me how to access God the same way they access God. Can't teach me how to do it if you don't know how to do it. Number two. A senior pastor must be able to secure God's presence for the people. This is what Sunday morning is about. This is what Wednesday night Bible study is about. Tuesday night Bible study. Monday night prayer meet. Whenever you meet together, forsake not the assembly of yourselves. Whenever you come together, the leader must be able to secure God's presence for the people. If God's presence is not there, why are we meeting? Okay. Listen to me. If God's presence is not there or not ever planning on showing up, this is what Sunday for Water Life was just totally unusual. Totally unusual. You want to have a spiritual leader that has the ability to access God, secure God's presence for the people. See, God's presence always follows his instructions. So if you don't have a leader that shows up with instructions from God, his presence is not going to be there. Are you seeing this? The pastor must not only know God intimately, but also must be able to bring God's presence back to the people. What this does, this creates an encounter with God. An encounter with God becomes an experience with God. Experiences with God becomes confidence in working with God. Confidence in working with God leads you to be who God has ordained you to be. So without the encounter, there can be no experiences. Without no experiences, there can be no confidence. Without no confidence, you will never reach your full potential in God. So I need to be able to be in a place where the senior pastor is able to secure the presence of God. Listen to me, that secure the presence of God and bring the presence of God back so that I can experience it. Not only can I experience it, but I watch the trail that he or she walked to secure the presence. So that when I'm on my own and by myself, I can walk that same trail. I hope you're hearing me. In Exodus 33, verses 14 through 16, Moses told God, if your presence do not go with me, then don't lead us any further. Are you kidding? God, I mean, Moses, man. Here's what makes me, I have so much respect for Abraham, Noah, Moses. The reason why I have so much respect for these gentlemen, because you got to realize they were living for God when there was no law. Because Moses, the one, established the law. So you got to remember, God told Moses, I'm giving you the law because if I don't give you the law, the people don't know that they're in sin. So that means before the law showed up, everybody was doing some of everything and really having no ill will about doing it. Are you seeing this? So Abraham, Noah, and Moses, they were living before the law. So that means they had a tenacity to go after God in a sinful society. So they had to know how to secure the presence of God. for the people. Are y'all seeing this? Moses told God, I mean, can you imagine the audacity? Can you imagine the boldness that Moses must have had and say, God, look, you called me. If your presence don't go with me, I ain't going. That's how much the presence of God is needed. And today, in today's churches, we have people stepping in pulpit without the presence of God. Trying to lead people, trying to do the same thing Moses did, but trying to do it without the presence. No, it's not going to work. Moses understood the presence of God so much that he built the tabernacle for God to come down and to dwell in all his glory among his people. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, you have to turn there. Jethro was giving Moses some wisdom. And Jethro was his father-in-law. And Jethro told Moses, you know, you're going to kill yourself if you try to counsel all these people. So Moses said, I need to get some people. God then spoke up and said, I need you to choose 70 men. Now, you got to understand this now. God told him to choose 70 men. Then God said, I'm going to come down in the midst of the congregation. Then, Moses, I'm going to take the spirit that is on you and put it on them. Notice this now. Watch the significance of this. Watch the significance of this and having the right leader. Because there was a precedent set. There was a precedent set in that particular moment. Whatever spirit that is upon the leader is going to be placed on those surrounding him or her. It's a precedent set. God trusted Moses so much that he told Moses, I'm going to take the spirit that is on you. This is God coming down. This is God coming down. Listen to me now. This is God coming down saying, I'm going to take the spirit that is on you, Moses, and put it on the 70. God didn't say, I'm going to come down and put my spirit on them. He said, I'm going to put the spirit of Moses on the 70. Moses had that much covenant and intimate relationship with God that he was able to command and access and secure the presence of God at will. That's the kind of leaders we need to have in the church today. That cannot happen unless they were first taught how to access and secure the presence of God. The only way that could be learned is through accountability and the apostolic. That's the only way. Moses knew how to get God to be committed to his people and not withdraw his presence from his people. Moses did this. One time Abraham did it. Abraham, God was going in on Sodom and Gomorrah. God was going in on them. God said, I'm tired of this foolishness. I'm tired of all the sin. I'm going in on. Abraham's God, look, if I can find 10 righteous people, would you spare it? He said, Lord, if I can find 5. Lord, I can't find none. But my point is that God allowed Abraham to dictate what was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. God had his mind made up. I'm going to deal with them. I'm destroying it. All that sin, I can't let it spread. Abraham said, Lord, just give me a chance. Let me go in there and see. He was able to access the presence of God. Listen to the significance. Not only access the presence of God, but access the ear of God. Yes. To where God would listen to Abraham. That God would listen to Moses. Yes. Yes. When Moses interceded for God's people, he moved the heart and compassion of God so that God returned his mercy and kindness to them on the basis of Moses' intercession for them. This is amazing now. See, this is what makes Jesus so significant. What makes Jesus so significant is Jesus forever has been interceding, has eternally been the intercessor for us. When he died on the cross, he allowed God's mercy and his grace to forever reign, that we won't be in a position where God has to judge us. Are you seeing this? So it is important that we have a leader, a senior pastor, that can access the presence of God and secure the presence of God so that we can reach the very maximum that God has designed for us beyond our mistakes that we make. When a senior pastor can secure the presence of God, it brings great deliverance for the people of God. This role of the pastor is very essential to the life and well-being of the church. If there's no presence, there's no agenda. If there's no agenda, there's no reason to meet. The pastor must command such favor before God that the presence of God will manifest when he calls upon the name of the Lord. Whoa. It doesn't mean because they can do an outline that the presence of God showed up. Satan can do an outline. Satan started preaching to Jesus. You already know that? In Matthew 4, Satan started talking to Jesus about what the Bible read. Then Jesus had to shift on from what it was written to what it is said. Satan knows the Bible. People forget Satan came from heaven. So it's not in an outline. This is something else. With LTMA, if we're not careful, we will let technology stop us from paying a price that will cause us to walk in a grace that God has designed for us. Technology is great at disseminating information, but it ain't worth crap in disseminating grace. Remember I said this in a couple of classes ago, your calling comes from God, but the grace or the empowerment comes from man. Whoever you're connected to. Are you seeing this? God always answered the patriarchs as well as the great men of God in the Bible, responding to their cry and voice of petition. God always answered the voice of the patriarchs. Number three. A senior pastor receives the mandate for the house. The pastor has been given the assignment by God's direct choosing. All other tenders have been eliminated. Whoever your senior pastor is one thing I can guarantee you, that he or she wasn't the first person God talked to in that particular area. But I can tell you this, and I can promise you this, they were the first one to respond. Number three is important. See, this is why it's not about information. It's not about information. It's not about how much we know or how much we learn about God. It's about being in God's presence being in a place where you know you can access God, being in a place where you know that when you step out to do something, God is with you. Watch this. Number three, sometimes God gives his assignment to the one who is available and obedient, not just to those who are capable and skillful. See, this is why we have so many mock churches on Sunday morning, because we have a lot of talented people that are great orators, but they carry no presence. You don't carry presence. See, if you don't carry presence, you don't carry deliverance. God is a deliverer. God is the one who set people free. We just create the atmosphere for him to show up. So if we're having mock church on Sunday morning, that means there's no presence, no accessibility to God. If no accessibility to God, then there can be no deliverance. There can be no advancement. There can be no dominance. So it's not just based on talent and skill. It has to be accessibility, securing, and you must have a reason to have the accessibility and securing the presence. That's what the mandate is. So now we see why so many churches are born out of frustration. I don't blame for a lot of so many churches being born out of frustration. Why? Because some people have spirits. See, I always tell ministers this. People have spirits, and just because they can't accurately put their finger on what's wrong, but they still know something ain't right. Something missing. I can't quite tell you what it is, but something is missing. I got to move. I ain't comfortable here. I'm dissatisfied. I know there's more of God. See, so you can't come to the pulpit just on talent, just on skill, just on oratorial skills. It ain't gonna work. It's okay to have the skills. It's okay to have the talent, but you better have a presence. And you must have a reason for a presence. We're dealing now with especially in these states, we're dealing with all different types of organizations. This organization, this assembly, that assembly. And real recently, we had one organization that left another organization. And one of my brothers and I was talking, and one of the things that we were talking about these two different organizations, and he asked me what I thought about it, and I told him, I said, well, the organization that left out of anger and started their own organization, my question is, why are you inviting the same speakers that this organization invites? I'm getting to a point. Why do you have the similar agenda of this organization? Why are you trying to have the same flavor as this organization? So the only thing I can figure is that there must be an ego problem or ego or pride involved, because you didn't get the position that you wanted to get. So now you have people following you when you do not have a mandate. Listen to the internet. You do not have a mandate, because the mandate is here. So you must have accessibility. You must have the ability to secure the presence of God, and you must have a mandate. God gives the work of the region to the man who pleases his heart. He may give the work and job description of others over to us if he has found others unfaithful in their service for God. Case in point, Old Testament, there's a story of a young prophet going into a city to deliver a word from God to a city about destruction. And God gave the young prophet instructions: go, speak, don't tarry, leave, and don't tarry. So the young prophet went in, spoke, And on his way out, an older prophet that was in that city who had lost his ability to hear from God invited him to come to dinner. When he came to dinner, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came up on that prophet and said, because you disobeyed the voice of the Lord, on your way home, a lion gonna get you. Ate him up. There are times when assignments are passed on because the person in that jurisdiction or that region is no longer hearing God. So somebody else has to rise up. When pastors fail to respond to God's present move and his assignment for the city, God will have to give his work and word to someone else who is ready and willing. Now, the way to avoid this is a pastor must become apostolic. A pastor must become, how does a pastor become apostolic? When a pastor connects to an apostle. Because you got to remember now, we've been defining culture of honor. You've been learning about this. An apostle structures heaven to earth government and lays out doctrine. Structures heaven to earth government so that the portals of the supernatural can be open for everybody to enjoy. So if I'm a pastor, a senior pastor, I need to be apostolic. I don't have to be an apostle, but I need to be apostolic so that I can access the open portals of heaven. When God's will is done, a work of God is established on earth. Talking about receiving a mandate. Just as we understand the harvesting is a corporate venture, so also is sowing, watering, and other features of the agricultural process. So in other words, what it's saying is, for those that are listening by internet, listening to me by internet, for those of you here, if you have any inkling at all of becoming, of that you think Lord God called you to pastor, any of the fivefold, do yourself a favor. Do not sow seeds in this present moment that will have to come up in the future. One of the hardest things to get pastors to understand is you attract who you are. You attract who you are. That's Bible. That's Galatians 6 and 7. It's all over the Bible. You attract who you are. If you are a troublemaker, somebody who don't want to follow instructions, somebody who always won't march to, it's okay to march to a different beat sometime, but if you always won't march to a different beat of the drum, then guess what you're going to attract? And you ain't going to get nothing done. Why? Because all you're doing is receiving the harvest that you planted. Are you seeing this? Number four, a senior pastor, this is very important. A senior pastor must be able to mature individuals for participation. Now this, we're about to go over something that's going to change your concept of a senior pastor. A senior pastor is not supposed to let you remain a baby. A senior pastor is not supposed to jump after your ever beck and call. Your senior pastor don't need to show up to all your functions. Listen to that, internet. Your senior pastor is not at your beck and call. God's mandate must be given to this pastor, and he or she must secure the tender for God's project in the city. In other words, the pastor is the one that determines and grow and watch, matures the people to prepare them for work in the city. Amen. Work in that geographical location, to work in that territory. Did any of you all get a chance? I don't know, not in this class. I don't think so. I think y'all may next year. There's a book called Apostolic Strategy. Did y'all do Apostolic Strategy? I didn't do Apostolic Strategy. There's a book called Apostolic Strategy. I'm not sure if y'all are going to be able to get it next year. Apostle may bring it in or not. But in that particular book, in Apostolic Strategies, the author, he's the same author of Lines of Honorable Men, Apostle Jonathan David. It's a section in that particular chapter, in that particular book, that it jumped out to me, and I think that every person needs to understand what's the difference between a contemporary pastor. Contemporary means our current time pastors. You know, these pastors that are creating these seeker-sensitive churches, are creating these churches where people have no accountability, these churches where they are keeping people as babies, they're letting the people whine and cry and not telling them that they need to seek the presence of God for themselves. Because remember now, we just talked about what the purpose, one of the first roles of a senior pastor is, he or she must have accessibility to the presence of God. Mm-hmm. Second, he or she must be able to secure the presence of God for the people. Number three, receive a mandate. All right. Number four, mature the people for the mandate. So there's a difference between an apostolic pastor and a contemporary pastor. We're going to go over the differences now. Many of today's pastoral functions are rooted in humanistic and psychological concepts. In other words, they're focused on the human and the psyche of man instead of the agenda of God. See, it's very simple. If we focus on the agenda of God, who is the creator of man, in other words, if we consult the creator of how to do what he wants us to do, in that process, we will take care of man and his psyche. The contemporary pastor focuses their role around the people and their need, whereas an apostolic pastor gets the people to be centered on God's call and purpose for their lives. Do you see the difference? A contemporary pastor is just concerned about meeting the needs of the people. Meeting the needs of the people. What program can we institute to meet the needs of the people? What can we do to help the people? Instead of saying, what programs can we institute to help them learn about God and learn to get in the presence of God? Who can fix them? Who can fix them in his presence? Are you seeing this? So we have churches going around that are trying to meet the needs of the people instead of getting people to learn how to meet the needs of God. Last I checked, Matthew 6:33 says, and what? Come on, we ought to memorize it. So that means if I seek first, instead of me trying to meet the person's need, if I can get them to understand how to learn how to seek God first and let God be the one, that's how denominations are developed, because people meet the needs of people and then people get hooked on people. So soon as, the Old Testament should not, we should not have to live like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, where we had to wait on Moses to talk to God for us to eat. We should be able to let our senior pastors access God, show us the way, and say, okay, pastor, I see it, I'm going, I'm coming with you. Because very few people went up the mountain with Moses. Matter of fact, they were so unprepared that Moses told Joshua, stay here, I'm going to come back. Joshua went up the mountain, went halfway. He said, stay right here, I'm going to come back. You can't handle this. But Joshua stayed there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Joshua stayed there long enough to where he found the way to the presence of God. How I know this? Because we see it in Joshua 1. So the senior pastor has a shift of focus from just trying to meet the needs of the people. Okay, now I got you born again. Okay, now I got you here. Okay, now I got you thinking straight. Let me go ahead and bring you now into the presence of God so you can really find out who you are. Many churches show up. Many people show up to church on Sunday morning because they just want to enjoy the message. They want to see how the pastor is going to rhyme this Sunday. They want to see how many terminologies he can make jingle together. An apostolic pastor gets the people to be centered on God's call and purpose for their life. It meets the needs of the people indirectly by exhorting them to pursue God's calls and purposes. It allows them to create a spiritual momentum inside the believer to overcome their own needs by faith in God, not faith in them. It's 11:30 at night. Something hit my house. I can't get a hold of pastor. What you gonna do now? What you gonna do? You better know how to access the presence of God. You better know how to secure it, and you better know how to get him to come down on your behalf. That's what an apostolic pastor pushes us to do. To know how to hear God for ourselves. Number two, the contemporary pastor is to love and feed the people, and they put on weight. Whereas an apostolic pastor seeks to train the people so that they can put on muscle. You know the difference between eating and gaining weight and eating and putting on muscle? Eating and gaining weight means you eating ain't doing nothing. Eating and put on muscles means you're eating and you're working out, or you're doing something that causes what you eat to become productive in your body. The apostolic pastor challenges the people to live out their full potential and realize God's will for their lives. It goes beyond the assurance of love. It deals with the people by admonishing each man and woman to mature and by training every man in all wisdom until every man and woman will be able to be presented, completed in Christ. Number three, the contemporary pastor takes upon his or herself the responsibility to perform services for the people. Whereas the apostolic pastor demands performance from the people. What I mean by that? Well, you know, pastor, if I'm sick, pastor, you got to come pray for me at the hospital. Pastor, you got to come christen my baby. Pastor, you got to come marry me. Pastor, you got to come bury me. Pastor, you got to do this. Pastor, you got to do this. Oh, pastor, you ain't planning on showing up to my mama's funeral? Well, then you ain't getting my tithes next week. Wow. Performing services. Instead of demanding performance, I need you to stand on this word I'm teaching you. I need you to walk in the Spirit. Don't walk after the flesh. Baby, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Go back and talk to him again. That ain't what he told you. That's demanding performance. What's the use? I want to take all the religious definitions of faith you ever heard and give you this one simple definition of faith. Faith is your belief system or your thoughts in action, period. So what sense is it for you to come to church on Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, or whenever you go to Bible study, listen to that minute, go to Bible study and you're not putting into action what you're learning. You have to be put in a position to be demanded for you to perform what you're learning. There are times when the senior pastor gonna have to tell us, no, that ain't from God. Go back, talk to him again. Now all of a sudden, my season is up here. The Lord is moving me. You know, my season is up. There are times when you call for your senior pastor and he or she may not call you back. What that means? That means grow up. That means get on your face before God and find out from God, God, what is it you want me to hear? God, what is it you want me to do? That's demanding performance. Not coming, jumping every time we call. Not jumping every time we have an issue. Pastor, I'm dealing with this. Pastor, I'm dealing with this. Pastor say, well, how in the world are we going to win the city and you can't win yourself? So the apostolic pastor must begin to demand performance. Number four, the contemporary pastor equips the leader to act as God's agent of grace to meet the people's needs. That's the contemporary pastor. When the apostolic pastor must equip every believer to function effectively in the work of the ministry. So this is why you get churches that break up and start. Because instead of the senior pastor equipping everybody to do the work of the ministry, they only train leaders to try to help meet the needs of the people. Do y'all see the difference? There's a difference. The difference is, at some point, I should become fully equipped so that I can assist the senior pastor in leading people that are coming to the... Because see, here's the thing. A church is supposed to be ever-growing. A church is supposed to be ever-growing. New people coming all the time. But the problem is, the reason why most churches grow stunt is because the people that were there earlier don't grow up and get out the way. Prime example. Any of y'all that have more than one child understand that this, your oldest child has to grow up and get out the way so that you can take care of the next baby. And you can't have this baby here and this one older trying to act like this one. That's what's happening in the church. Why? Because today's pastor is trying to meet the needs of the people. Today's pastor is trying to perform services instead of demanding performance. So now, therefore, if you got a church full of babies, prime example, the reason why God, Jethro, gave Moses that wisdom because Moses was dealing with a bunch of babies. So that's why he needed all those elders. But it should become a point in time where if you go to elder or senior pastor enough, that you ought to learn something. You come to church on Sunday mornings for a while, you ought to learn something. You ought to learn to smack the devil yourself. You ought to be able to understand that he's under your foot yourself. You should be able, he should not just know Jesus' name. He just should not know Paul's name, Peter's name. He should know your name. Why should he know your name? Because your senior pastor is demanding performance. I hope you see this. So now today's pastor or our contemporary pastors are trying to create a bunch of leaders that are trying to take care of the other people in the church that refuse to grow up instead of forcing everybody to grow up. Number five, today's pastor or the contemporary pastor has maintenance as his goal. The apostolic pastor has maturity as his focus. Do you see the difference? Today's passage is trying to maintain. Make sure you have a happy life. Make sure you don't have too many problems that arise. You can make it. Instead of saying, that was a dumb decision. That was crazy. You know, come on, how long have you been in the church? 15 years? Why you've been in church 15 years? How many times I've preached on holiness? And after 15 years, how many times I preached on holiness and you still cheat on your wife? What? Come on now, what is this? What is this? You ought to grow up from that. You see the difference? Not just trying to maintain and say, I hope I keep the problems to a minimum just so I can maintain. But nah, let all the problems surface. Because you're going to fix these problems. You and the Holy Ghost are going to fix these problems. Why? Because I need you to mature. Challenges are there to mature us. Not for us to cower down from. They're there to mature us. So if you have a pastor that tries to keep, that don't want to face issues, that just want to maintain status quo, listen to me, they want to maintain status quo, you're in trouble. You want a pastor whose focus is on maturity. Real quick. Number six, the current or contemporary pastor assures the believer of their positional worth in Christ. Listen to this. But the apostolic pastor seeks to establish the experiential reality of Christ in the believers. In other words, a contemporary pastor just want to keep reassuring you of your relationship. Whereas an apostolic pastor say, not only do I want you to be sure of your relationship, come meet him for yourself. Come get some experiences with God. Come on, let's walk this. What you facing, let's face this. What God is telling you? Well, what have you learned? Okay, now based on what you know, what God is telling you? Okay, I believe you. Do it. So now you're doing instead of it being done for you. You're doing instead of it being done for you. If you, any dreams that you may have, any goals you may have, you know the best way to get goals accomplished? Just start moving in that direction. Do something. Move in that direction. It may be an inch, it may be a millimeter, but move in that direction. And when you begin to move in that direction, what you're telling God is, God, I believe what you're telling me. So when he finds out you actually believe what he's telling you, that's when he talks to you more and tells you how to finish it. So having that experience with Christ, not just knowing or reassuring you of the relationship, but letting you experience the relationship. Number seven. We got two more. Number seven, number eight, and we'll be finished. The contemporary pastor meets the external need by bringing comfort and a sense of relief to the believers. Whereas the apostolic pastor handles the internal needs by bringing deep fulfillment and a great sense of identity. See, there's a difference. Watch this now. There's a difference. I'm just not going to soothe over your problems. No, we're going to face these problems, and then you're going to identify with Christ, who gives you triumph over all these problems. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. So we don't have to smooth the curse over. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses about not having enough. I'm going to identify with Christ and get this abundance operating in my life. I'm not going to make excuses about this is hereditary. I got to live with this. I'm going to identify with Christ who makes me triumph in this situation. Are you seeing this? So a senior pastor, apostolic senior pastor, will cause you to identify with Christ and rise above and conquer that situation. Number eight, last one, and we close here. The contemporary pastor emphasizes the importance of the behavioral system of saints. An apostolic pastor emphasizes the importance of the belief system of the saints. Other words, we're not dealing with surface behavior. Or we're not dealing with the surface. you can take the, you can see this. Listen to me, Internet. How you see a person carry themselves, you can always tell their belief system. Because you behave how you think. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. You behave how you think. A fool will show his or herself eventually. Just watch them long enough. You're going to realize if this person is a fool or not. And then if they're a fool, then you're going to know they think foolishly. Your environment produces what you think. We went over this. What you think produces how you feel. And how you feel fuels how you act. So if your environment is not with a senior pastor that knows how to access, secure the presence of God and have a mandate to put you to work, if you're not in that environment, then whatever environment you're in, that's how you're going to think. Which is, that's how you're going to feel, which is leads to your behavior. I hope y'all are seeing this. See, your senior pastor sometimes is supposed to look at you and walk off. Really? That's what you ask me now? Really? After this message from this morning, really? That's what you're going to ask me. There's no, but you know, pastors have to deal with sheep, and it just, it amazes me. I refuse to ask Apostle a question right after he finished ministry. Here's why. I refuse to ask him a question right after he finished ministry because I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen at it. And I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, give me some more clarity on this. What you're doing? You're training yourself to mature. You're training yourself to mature. It amazes me how many people come ask Apostle, and many of y'all have seen this with y'all pastor. People come ask him a dumb question. And Apostle or pastor have just been dealing with that in the message. Gave the answer and everything. The problem is they just too lazy to do something about it. Don't let that be you. Don't you be one of the ones that hold up the growth of the church because you want a contemporary pastor instead of an apostolic pastor. Y'all have a good night.